Welcome back, everyone. This is Simon Phillips here on KLDR Leadership Development Radio. Hope you're having a great week. We've been basically boiling in our houses here in the UK because they forgot to invent air conditioning when they put our houses up. But apart from that, which are, and obviously being British, that's all we can talk about whenever we meet up. We're having some fun. Summer is here firmly in the UK. I am delighted though to introduce you to Oleg Konovalov, who I caught up with recently, has such a huge wealth of knowledge and understanding of what it takes to be vision led inside your organization, or to create and craft visions that empower you and your organization to do the things that you've always wanted to do. And it was just a fascinating conversation. I thought I must get Oleg into the studio and have a chat with him and introduce him to you. So Oleg, good to see you this morning. How are you?
Simon, thank you very much for inviting me. I'm delighted and honored. Thank you.
My pleasure. So where do we find you today, Oleg? Which part of this wonderful universe do you live?
I'm not claiming that I'm at epicenter of that heat wave, but I'm at Birmingham, you know. But the streets are empty and there seems to be people hiding in all that shadow places.
So Oleg, I know my accents around the UK quite well, and that doesn't sound like a Birmingham accent to me. So where did you acquire that accent?
You see, I'm Russian by origin, right? But I spent more than 15 years. I lived in a place that I still love, Grimsby, you know, on the East Coast. I spent many years in the fishing industry, and I was dealing a lot with Scandinavians. Therefore, you could hear a lot of, you know, accents from there. And I do deal a lot with the US, you know, my publishers are there, many of my contacts there, therefore it's all impacted the way I sing and the way I talk.
a bit of a global accent you developed.
Oh yeah. Well, the main thing, if your wife understands you, you're lucky. Yeah, that's the main thing.
That's true. Oleg, we're going to talk a bit later about your book, The Vision, which I know is, you know, you. I've actually been listening to it on audiobook, and it's fascinating to hear the insights that you gathered from basically global experts on this subject. And what's at the heart of it is your, from my perspective anyway, is your thorough understanding of what this is really all about. And I think there's lots of misunderstandings about vision, misunderstanding about visionary leadership. And I think you've really distilled so much knowledge and experience into the book that I think, you know, the listeners today are gonna get a real insight. But before we get on to that, what I'd like to do is just help people understand. So how did you come to have this understanding and knowledge? What was your journey like? How did you get to that place in the first place?
Right. Simon, I went from being a second engineer on a British Trawlers to a CEO position of international company. Yeah. And I was only, people were considered me a bit of a lunatic in the fishing industry, because I was the first one in entire global fishing industry who went for a doctoral degree being very active in the fishing industry. And even people said to me, hey man, you have enough money, why do you do this? Mm-hmm. You know, it's strange. But I was always curious to explore something that beyond today, beyond mm-hmm. the present. And later I went and left the industry and went into consulting, wrote a few books, were considered one of the best in the world on leadership. And what I do, I'm very keen to explore grand solutions. And if we talk vision and vision leadership, you see, we need to talk about the difference between managers and leaders. Managers are responsible for the present. Mm. They're handling the present. Leaders are responsible for the future. they show people where to go, how to get there, and how that future would look like. And here we have a tremendous difficulty. I did a research, and it was quite a long research in depth, talking to people from different countries, you know, from Canada to Australia and from New Zealand to the US, you know, all across the globe. You see, in my research, I realized that less than 0.1% of modern leaders have vision. Actually, they don't know where to go. They have difficulty articulating how the future would look like, where they lead people, and therefore they're diving into reports, everything that around them. So more or less, they're claiming that they're leaders, but they're not. Therefore, we tend to repeat, like hamsters in a wheel, the same old mistakes, we're facing the same problems again and again and again. But leadership is about leading. It's not about declaring problems. And in fact, what happens, there is a huge mistake these days in leadership, huge, which cost a lot. Leaders are looking for consensus, which is completely wrong, because we're looking for consensus when we don't know where to go. People need leaders because leaders know where they make that difference. And therefore, vision is critical. In terms of strategy, we tend to spend a lot of money on strategic sessions, on strategic planning, but without vision, strategy is just a bridge to nowhere, expensive and useless. You can't create a strong corporate culture without people wrapped, because culture is a shared vision or effort of people wrapped around that core vision. Who they're going to be, how they would feel, how they would grow. So you need vision in all cases. If you are a startup and you're looking for investors are not investing into a product, because product has a very short lifespan. They're investing into that space that you will occupy with your vision. So vision is critical. But vision tend to be believed that is a gift, but it is not. It's a way of thinking. It's an algorithm. So I drove into this, and in my book, The Vision Code, I explored the nature of vision, how to create it for the first time in human history.
And what was it that inspired you to get into that space in the first place? Because, you know, as your colleagues were saying in the fishing industry at the time, you know, why are you doing this, Oleg? And yes, you had a curiosity, but what drove you specifically into this space as opposed to anything else that you could have gone off and explored?
Let's put it that way. Without vision, we can't do much, right? It defines our evolution, whether in private life or in business. But so if we wouldn't explore it, the rest is meaningless. We would be just improving, but improvement doesn't make us better. It just allows us to catch up with changes, where vision allows you to leap, to make a leap into that successful future. And that was a reason behind it. Actually, I was thinking about vision, its nature, for more than 20 years. And I'm lucky enough for having a chance to talk to great leaders across the globe. And I was learning, and I'm still learning from every one of them, because they're all brilliant. Vision is always different, even if visions look similar, which we sell them, but they're still different. And you're learning from every one of them. It's tremendous. It's a tremendous journey. When I finished the book, I realized that that project on vision impacted me more than anything else that I have done in my life.
Wow. And, you know, obviously you've had a lot of experience then sort of testing some of this thinking out as you were developing your theories and understanding of vision, were there any bits in those conversations with leaders which consistently they were either misunderstanding or not grasping the real, the nettle, if you like, of what we were trying, what you were trying to help them see?
Yes, there are two patterns. One is how people take vision, and how, what kind of questions or to what triggers they respond. Let's walk that way. People often consider vision as some kind of a statement, which is wrong. They consider mission statements as a vision, which is wrong. They consider their goals as a vision or ambitious. Vision is a multidimensional space in the future that we strive to make a reality today. And this is a value created for others. It's not a statement, because none of the statement would inspire people. Vision is very pragmatic. I have trained or helped people from 33 countries, executives from 33 countries so far. And we came up to a simple understanding. Vision helps to improve capitalization of a company with a vision to up to 30 times, which is a huge difference. This is why those companies are always successful. None of the statements, because statement is actually a promise which never would be delivered. Vision is very pragmatic. Statement is just a murky promise. And people often consider vision as some kind of a statement. No. I'll put it in that way. Vision, another thing, why vision is important. Yes, vision is very pragmatic. Therefore, it makes your company really grow strong. And it's at the same time, it's the greatest legacy that you could leave to the next generation of your employees or within your family. For instance, we remember of a vision of Nelson Mandela, but we hardly remember his goals. You can't leave your goals or your mission statement as a legacy to the next generation. It's meaningless for them. But you could leave your vision as the next generation. You could capitalize on it, you could transfer it, you could share it.
And in those, in that context, if the vision isn't a statement, is it more of a story? It's the way you talk about your business. What is it that's tangible that that can then be shared with your colleagues?
First of all, vision is very pragmatic. More or less, it reflects the value created for people. Therefore, it has six criteria. The first one is stimulus. What is the value for people? If it's a real value, people will respond to it, more or less. Vision comes when your conscious awareness of a problem that you want to solve for a benefit of others reaches its peak. So more or less, it's a very serious problem that I'm solving for people, and they will get a value for themselves. Think of a Tesla. Electrical cars were invented long before Elon Musk. But he created a vision of that space of mobility where we drive differently, we service cars differently, the infrastructure of cities changed, ultimately, you know, in this sense. That is a space, very pragmatic, where people see the value for themselves. It's about scale. Goals are not scalable. Statements are not scalable. Vision is always scalable, because you add more value, it always has a potential for extension. It's always appealing at every stage. It reflects scanning or relevance to people, pain points, because what's the point for you to declare that you will be the greenest company in the world, which is difficult to achieve, where you're saying, hey, I'm solving something that's directly relevant to people today and will be relevant tomorrow and years after. It's about spotlight, who is responsible for creating and executing that vision. It's of course about simplicity, because vision is an elegant thinking about complicated things. If you can't share your vision in simple terms, you will not get any support.
I think that's the bit that I'm just trying to understand, is when you say share the vision in simple terms, what are those terms? What do they sound or feel
like? Very simple exercise. Talk to a 10 years old, right, and share your vision within less than 2 minutes. If they grasp it, it's okay, it's simple. If not, you are too complicated. That means it will impact how you will get people on board, how much resources do you need, because the simpler, less means you need less resources to achieve it.
So the vision is an explanation,
yes,
of the solution that you intend to put in place.
But at the same time, it's very functional, because every function of your vision is your promise.
Mm-hmm.
You will be judged as a leader. We are all judged by delivery, how we deliver our promises, and how our promises meet people's expectations. Therefore, it's very functional. It's not just something murky. We would make a country great again. It's not deliverable. It's just a murky promise. And of course, vision has that tremendous emotional power, because your passion is in it. And you're sharing that passion. You're making others the multipliers of that passion. And therefore, vision is very inspiring.
Got it.
Has that tremendous power.
Brilliant. Oleg, I'd like to understand now, if I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, well, we don't have a vision in our organization, or we have a vision that's a statement, but I don't think it really drives much inside our business. What would be the first conversation that you'd need to have with someone like that?
Vision is a very different mindset. It's mindset which is fully directed towards the future. We have a problem, all of us, we all have a problem which I called a mind lock. You see, when you're flying across the continents, for instance, from Birmingham to San Diego, there is 8 hours time difference, your biological clocks need to be set up. But when we talk about vision, we're thinking and talking about how to get into that future, already being here and now, today, at that place. Therefore, the first challenge is to reset a mindset from us thinking about the past and the present towards the future, to close that gap. That's the first thing. Another thing is, vision is a value created for others. Therefore, it's great to talk to people who believe in something greater than they are. It's nothing, because if people are purely egocentric, they're thinking about themselves only, they would have difficulty creating a vision. This would be some kind of a bubbled ambitious. Well, we're humans, it's okay. We all have ego, which is normal, you know, but to what extent you control it? If you can control your ego, you are likely to produce a value for others. If not, you will have difficulties with that. Here, yeah. I can't help you. I can't help anyone. So you are starting with a meaning. Again, one of the important factors is we are all visionaries to a greater or lesser extent. Vision comes from our deepest aspirations that sits on the back of our mind, and we just tend to say, oh no, it's not good. But those brave and bold becoming the most successful.
Yeah.
So I'm always starting with my clients talking about those things. So more or less setting them for that journey into the future.
Okay. And then is it a standard process that you work through with them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's been tested and trained. Even my program, Ole Kanavalla Vision Leadership Program, is named number two in the world, which is not bad.
No, it's getting there.
Yeah. You know, because it's been well tested, well trained, and even if it's a coaching or a training program, people show a tremendous growth, on average about 70% growth over a few days.
Do you find that the work is more effective with a top team or just with the leader?
Vision is a team sport.
Okay.
Put it in that way. Vision is our collective agreement how the future would look like and how we will get there.
Mm.
And therefore, you can't be a visionary on your own. You must involve your team. You must make others visionaries, and they will contribute to it. If they don't understand your vision, how they could contribute to it?
Mm.
Think of Google. Sergey Brin and Larry Page are not in charge of Google or Alphabet for a few years now, but Google still goes strong because they made a team of visionaries.
Yeah.
Therefore, you better involve the entire C-suite or, you know, your entire executive team.
And are you involving them in creating the vision or working with the vision of the leader to share rather the vision of the leader, or is it that co-created thing in the first place?
It's better if it's co-create, because everyone would contribute something to it to make it stronger.
Yeah.
It's about sharing that vision across as many people as possible. It's about execution, because it's still about enabling decision, strong decision making, effective decision making. It's about maintaining focus and will. It's about corporate culture. It's about productive execution. Without execution, vision is like an insect. It will die tomorrow.
Yeah.
It must be executed. Therefore, you must have those supporters within your team.
It's funny actually, because just yesterday I was sharing, I was doing a workshop on leading change, and I had a quote from John Cotter, who's done a lot of research into change and how do you make change happen. And he said management is about complexity, whereas leadership is about coping with change. Because, and if you think about that, it's totally aligned with what you're saying, which is leadership is all about, and vision is all about the future. And anything that is today, we should just manage, you know, and we should look for opportunities to improve it. But we're not going to get to the future in big jumps if we're just in that management space. It has to be leadership. It has to be vision that's going to pull us forward. I'm always fascinated how much of the leadership conversation is actually about making change happen.
Simon, I would offer you to look at this from a different angle. COVID, most of organizations these days still talking in a simple way. We can't make a difference because we are facing COVID, or we're still recovering from COVID. They made a COVID as a great excuse to lean back.
Yeah.
They are not, you know, bouncing forward, even facing challenges. My life is not smooth. I believe yours neither. We're all going through the different challenges. And I have learned a great lesson myself. One day I faced tremendous losses. Very tough experience, and I was sitting and thinking what to do and how to do, how more or less just like almost bursting into tears. And then I realized, what is greater, my today problems or my goals. As soon as I realized that my goals, what I want to create and what is greater than my problems, I forgot about those problems.
Yeah.
I started creating solutions. Look at the organizations. They're saying, no, we have difficulties with sales. Our customers are not good, or they were just like, they are using problems as an excuses. But problems like midges, there are millions of them around us. We can't kill them all. We must create solution which is far beyond those convenient problems. And we could move forward and we will become much stronger. One of the things when I train people on, or one of the elements when I train people on vision and vision leadership is about courageous thinking. It's not about, hey, I don't want you to be brave like a penguin jump into a cold water. It's nothing about this. It's about thinking beyond today and beyond the problems. Be bold, because majority of affairs are given to us by others, by society, by parents, by friends. You can't do this. I can. At least I will try.
Yeah.
And that makes a huge difference. And courage is so infectious to your team. They will start thinking differently. You immediately will be talking about, oh, we're innovative. How comes? We became innovative because my people in my team now are coming up with incredible creative ideas. And we could figure out something, how to find the best solution to achieve that vision.
Yeah. And that's why the co-creation is so important in the first place, isn't it?
Immediately.
Yeah.
You see, for instance, if we talk about influence or how to communicate your vision, the aim of communicating vision is not just be a talking head or gaining fancy likes on the social media. It's nothing about this. The aim is simple. I must make others the co-owners of vision. And if they feel, people feel that they are co-owners because they contribute to it, and they will gain the benefits out of that vision when it's at every stage. They are committed, they're engaged, they are loyal, they're enthusiastic, they're inspired.
Yeah, totally. And it's a big part of moving anything forward that's meaningful, is recognizing that, as you said, you can't do that on your own.
No.
You need other people to be as equally committed as you in whatever it is you're trying to achieve. Otherwise, it's your vision, and there will always be that mental hurdle of, I'm doing this for you, as opposed to, I'm doing this because it's for our vision. And it's a totally different situation to be in mentally.
Simon, you brought an excellent segue to the easiest and the most profound example, family life. If husband and wife both have vision and they're supporting each other, they would live in a happy family. They will go over whatever struggles they will face. But if they don't have a shared vision, it's more of a social exchange. Hey, I brought money, you should do cooking. You know, whatever challenge, oh, I have another idea, I have thought so differently, and it's not a happy family.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. So Oleg, tell me, maybe share if you have some examples to mind of a specific client that you've worked with. Don't necessarily have to name them, but maybe can you share what the outcome was? So they met you, you started working with them on the development of the vision and the co-creation of that. What were the sort of impacts on them? Not just, you know, bottom line impact, but other things that you saw and that they experienced.
I do work with companies such as Saudi Aramco. And they are so vision driven that now we on like a regular programs for the executives, because the team is huge, the company is one of the largest and one of the most profitable in the world, and they're driving it forward through such programs for senior executives, still allowing them to go strong or keep strong. At the same time, I'm proud of my recent experience working with one of the startups in Finland. I even don't want to call them, but they just a startup. More or less, they came up with a simple solution. They want to be a Google of retail, and they're doing very well. For the 3 months, they've grown on about 60%. And they, it's not about they got more people into a team, but they're expanding as we speak. And they're doing it brilliantly. Another thing is, when I work with like on one-to-one coaching programs, one of my clients said, "You saved me at least 5 years of my life." Mm. You know, and that means a lot. Having it from someone who is a very top level. Those people are not, how to do it? It's not to train a student who could grow a lot because he's like a blank field. Such people, 5% improvement for them means a lot. But if such a person says, "Hey, who is running a, quite a serious company? I love working with medium-sized businesses." Mm-hmm. They're very active, they're very aggressive in a good sense, putting vision into action. Larger organizations are slow at this.
Yeah.
But I will put it in this way. As I mentioned, vision, company with a strong vision shows capitalization of about 25, 30 times higher than a company just with a great product. Can you imagine the difference?
Yeah, that's huge.
It's that's huge. It's huge. And then vision inspires. People become stronger. I don't believe that I could make people happy, but I could help people to be satisfied, because making everyone happy is impossible. You know, but make people really satisfied, confident, strong, and they could achieve tremendously more, is a blessing work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Simon, I'll put it in that way. Are you a blind leader who doesn't know where to lead people, or you are a leader with a vision that would make that difference?
Yeah.
Would you commit yourself?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, well, I think where I join in this conversation, if you like, is more on a personal level. I've had the vision of bringing the Changemaker Group to life. And what we're trying to do is help people who want to be change makers in the world to go out there and make a difference. But in terms of the types of conversations I have with organizations, quite often this is the missing bit. You know, they're in the conversations about strategy, they're in the conversations about goals, but they've lost sight of the vision. And I do a lot of work in the public sector where the original vision, you know, the likes of an Iron Bevin trying to had a vision for healthcare across the UK, that vision sort of has got lost a little bit, because there's a constant process of here's the new strategy. And it's the strategies are slightly disconnected each time, more and more disconnected from the original vision, because the vision has become mixed up in whatever the government of the day is saying the vision is. And I think that's, so I work with a lot of people who feel totally disconnected from the original vision. And so a lot of our conversations are, so what's your vision for this service then? you know, what would you hope that you and your colleagues could be doing that you can see today needs to be done? How could you do that? And how can we co-create that? And I think once you get into that space, you see the lights go on for people and they feel like, yeah, this is now meaningful. It's not just another tick box exercise.
So for it must be very clear. If vision is not clear, it's just like, oh, what's your vision for that process? And people start expressing their ideas. It's not clear. There is no clarity. When the things are clear, it gets straight to the conscious and unconscious minds of people. And it's never forgotten. One thing. Yes, you must revitalize your vision on a regular basis, because you grow, you achieve more, you have more resources, you see more opportunities, you are making it even stronger. Yes, you're adjusting your strategy, but you can't create multiple strategies. That means you wouldn't be able to achieve that vision, because every time your new strategy will be misleading.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. Brilliant. So Oleg, you've studied and you've understood and you've worked with people on this process for years now. Have you got a personal life experience where you can, you know, maybe your own understanding of this process really helped you at a significant point where maybe you were going through a specific change in your life and knowledge of this stuff really helped?
Simon, one of them, there are a few reasons why vision is important. One of the core reasons is to break out of non-satisfactory present, you must have a vision. Otherwise, you would be just walking around claiming that you are not happy with something or you don't like something. If you want to change something from much better, from much greater, with a greater outcome, you must have a vision. All successful people made firm decisions at a certain point to create their vision and live differently. The same happened to me. I'm not an exception in this sense. And now when I know where to go, what my vision is, and I'm helping leaders across the globe to become visionaries and share all my tools and helping them successful to become even more successful, I need to have a vision for this. Without it, I would be just a nice guy, nothing else, which is very, very critical. If you want to change something, you better have a vision. I have this experience. You want to get into a super league of leadership, you must have a vision. I have it. So whatever you will name, it's all about vision that stands behind it.
Yeah. And do you find, has there been a moment in your life where you've felt you didn't have vision? And if so, what did that feel like for you, and how did you come through that?
That's probably the toughest moment, because you feel lost. You feel living meaningless life. Actually, you see, in terms of life, we're all brought up to this world because of parents or God or nature. And in this sense, we live a meaningless life. We're just living as biological creatures. But to make that life meaningful, we must have a vision. And this is where, as soon as you lost your vision, you lost your understanding, you're just living by. And that, for me, is a torture.
And was it vision that pulled you out of your fishing industry?
Yes, because I knew those days that I could create something greater than daily operations or transactions. Yeah, that pulled me out. It's when you have a vision is energy. And when you have that energy, you could do so many things. It pulls you out of troubles. It pulls you out of that daily life misery. You start living quite an inspiring life.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, Oleg, I'm sure you've inspired a lot of people listening to this show today. So thank you.
I'm considered one of the top 100 most inspiring leaders, along with Bill Gates, Oprah Winfrey, Elon Musk. Not because of having similar bank account. No. But it's about inspiration.
So what was that on a list? Was that something?
Yeah, it's 100 most inspiring leaders of the globe.
Brilliant. Well, I recommend people go and study that list and start with you. My special guest, Oleg Konovalov, who has shared with us so many insights on the critical nature of developing a great vision, both for yourself and your organization. Straight from his book, The Vision Code. And as I say, I've been listening to that in the car. And there are so many amazing people that Oleg's interviewed to gather information on how the most successful organizations out there and the most successful individuals are doing this. So if you want to find out some more inspiration, I recommend that book to you. So Oleg, there'll be plenty of people listening to this that want to find out more and get in touch. So how can they do that?
First of all, they could go on my website, olegkonovalov.com, and it has a contact form, and it has my email address, oleg@olegkonovalov.com. They could connect with me on LinkedIn, and I do respond to all the messages myself. It's not a chatbot. And it's always important to remember, life is not a place we live, but a path we take. Vision defines that path. So if you're really serious, if you made a decision to create a vision, I will be happy to help.
Wonderful. Thank you, Oleg. What a delight it's been to interview you here today on The Change Show. I really appreciate you spending some time with us. And good luck with the book and everything else that you've got going on right now. And we will hopefully catch up again soon.
Thank you very much, Simon. At your service.
Brilliant. That was it. That was The Change Show here on KLDR Leadership Development Radio. I'm your host, Simon Phillips. Go out there and have a visionally inspired week, and we'll catch up with you again here next time. Take care.